As I was reading, when I reached the point where the murders happen, the first thing that came to my mind was Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. Does that ring a bell for you?
No. I mean, there were various things that I thought of. I think I flashed on the famous John List case in New Jersey where he murdered his entire family and then became a fugitive. But, you know, when I'm in the world of a book, it's so completely real for me that I almost don't have any outside influences. It's almost as though my point of reference is what happened to the Latham family on New Year's Eve of this particular year. It's a real thing to me.
And you knew from the start that the ex-boyfriend would lose it.
Yeah. I think the only question that I had early on was how bad the carnage would be, how much of the family he would actually take out. Honestly, when I first began to think about the book, and even when I wrote the first couple pages, I thought he was going to kill all of them except for her.
And that's what I was wondering about.
And then I realized that that was an insupportable premise. I stepped outside the real world of this family into the world of the novel and thought, this gives me nowhere to go with this story, because this is nothing but a story of despair and honestly probably a story of the mother's suicide, which was not something that I thought jibed with her character. And almost out of a clear blue sky, in the way these things do when you're working on a novel, which is very odd and mysterious, I thought, oh, well, of course, Alex is away. And that was that.
From my perspective, getting to page 150 in describing the book on the well, as I was thinking about it, I realized that you'd given depth to the daughter and to the other son. And I kept thinking, this is really strange. I'm not seeing the same depth on Alex.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of that is not about the novel, though. Part of that is about her relationship with Alex, which is what I think develops in the second half, which is that I think there's sometimes a tendency on the part of a certain kind of woman to not be as invested with the kid who seems to have it all together, in part because they don't call on your helping or nurturing gene as much. And I think to the extent that Alex is this kind of golden boy who can field any kind of ball that you might throw at him, and who has all these friends and who seems to transact very easily, not the kind of interesting eccentric that his elder sister is, or the kid who's really needy, as his twin brother is, she sort of shined him on a little bit. And one of her challenges is that now she has to not only deal with, but heal the kid with whom she had the least natural affinity.
And he actually grows. I mean, you see the growth from him. Now, as you're writing it, how much of that is imagination? How much of that you think is your own discovery of who this character is?
I think those two things are inseparable. You write these characters and your imagination gives them flesh, and as you go on, you discover more and more and more about them. But it's still that imaginative work and those sudden discoveries. And I do think it was inevitable that after this kind of tragedy in his family, that he's going to become a different person in a variety of ways.
And the character of Mary Beth, her voice, how easy or hard was it to write that voice, or did it just kind of develop easily so that by the time you reached that particular moment in the book, you knew her and the voice could flow freely?
I think if you're doing a first-person narration and you don't come to the voice fairly early on and pretty reliably, that you may have made the wrong choice about how to tell the story. So I got her. I got who she was. I got the way she sounded and the things she would emphasize probably within the first 50 pages of the book, which meant that, of course, I had to go back and do rewrites once I was more sure-handed about her voice. But that was not a major struggle in this book.
Well, toward the end, what do you see for Mary Beth as Alex goes off to college a couple of years down the road?
I think that she's at the beginning of what will be a long up-and-down struggle. I mean, I don't see how it could be otherwise. But I think given her growing relationship with Alex and given her absolutely great dependence on her friends, and given her sense that you owe something to the people you've lost, I think that eventually she'll prevail, but I think it will be a long slog.
For you, Anna Quinlan, when you're writing this book and you're living inside the characters and this sort of tragedy happens, how does it affect you in terms of your dealing with your own family?
Actually, one of the things that I have gotten pretty good at over the years is separating my writing mind and my everyday mind. And I've done that self-consciously with a period of time at the end of every workday. It's usually about an hour if I can get it, where I leave the writing behind, but I don't go right back into everyday life. I do busy work, basically. I answer emails. I return phone calls. I begin work on speeches that I might be giving. I think of it as this kind of palate cleanser. And I used to do it so that I wouldn't be so abstracted that I wouldn't be present for the kids. But it was particularly important for this book because if I had stayed 24/7, the way some method actors do when they're doing a part, in the world of this book, I would have been a very unhappy and perhaps marginally crazy person. And so this sort of way of separating out my lives was really, really useful when I was working on every last one.